Well, it is my privilege now to introduce our next speaker, Dr. Clifton Cathcart, a true medical professional that will be sharing with us his perspective of the true medical science of COVID-19 and what's going on. Doc, if you would, give him a warm welcome, if you would.
You can see me, but I can't see you. It's a pleasure to be here today, and I'm thankful for the invitation. Somewhere is my PowerPoint. Okay, here we go. So, this is the medical science of COVID-19. Probably a better name for this would be several truths behind the science of COVID-19. So, how many of you took a shower or bath within the last 24 hours? Don't put your hands up. Do you know you did a scientific experiment when you took a bath or shower? Turned on the faucet, observed the water flowing, put your hand underneath, tested several times to get the right temperature, then you stepped in. That was a scientific experiment. So we're all amateur scientists. We do that all the time. Many years ago, and this is going to date me, but one of my favorite sayings that I heard 55 years ago, I think if meteorologists would have been around during the time of Solomon, this would have been a proverb. Bob Dylan, 1965. Now that's something that I think in my mind often when I observe things that make sense, but the rest of the world denies. I think myself, I don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. As I go through this talk, that's going to pop up several times. So, disclaimer, an old axiom concerning funded scientific research: for every PhD, there's an equal and opposite PhD. This axiom applies to 2020. Follow the science. Anthony Fauci. So, understanding COVID-19, what is it? It's one of many coronaviruses called SARS-CoV-2. It's related to the SARS-1-CoV. It's called a coronavirus because it has a crown-shaped margin with spikes. And there are six of them. Four cause common colds, and the other two are SARS-1 and SARS-2, COVID-1, COVID-2. Where did it come from? Came from Wuhan City, Hubei Province in China, from a BSL-4 lab. That's a bioscience lab. Level 4, they're four categories. The level 4 is the strictest control, and it's in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. When did it start? October or November or December 2019, depending on what experts you listen to. When will it end? Well, it'll end later, but we're going to talk about that later. How did it get started? It was leaked either accidentally or intentionally from this Wuhan Level 4 lab. How did it spread? A lab worker or someone within that lab spread to others, and then it exploded within Wuhan City. One thing I want to explain to you right now is that One of the reasons that it spread was because the Chinese government, once they realized how serious this was, Chinese Communist Party, they stopped intra-province travel within China. In other words, nobody, Wuhan province was locked down. They couldn't travel anywhere in China, but they could continue to travel all over the world. Wuhan City is about 11 million people, so it's larger than New York City. So these people travel all over the world repeatedly. It was first announced in late December 2019 that it was a pneumonia-causing virus, but the CCP, Chinese Communist Party, did not really say how serious it was. International travel hastened its spread. Let me give you a little... remember what happened with Italy? Why they were a European country that was just devastated? Do you know why that was? In Florence, Prada, a city there, is the international fashion capital of the world. The Chinese have wanted to penetrate the textile fashion market for decades, and so about 20 years ago, they started buying businesses in Italy, fashion businesses, and they started exporting workers to work in the sweatshops. So who wants to buy designer clothes made in China? But everybody wants to buy them made in Italy. So they just exported workers. 300,000 Chinese people live in Italy. 90% work in the textile, fashion, industry-related businesses. So here's what happened. These people are going back and forth to work from China to Italy, traveling home. And the Chinese government waited until after the Chinese New Year, which runs the last week in January to the first week in February, before they shut anything down, so these people could come back and celebrate. So it exploded through their population. As I go farther in the talk, when I talk about the number of deaths in China and the number of cases, you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. We'll get to that. Who caused it? Chinese Communist Party. I'll explain that later. Dr. Xi Jing Li, most likely a synthetic virus. Most of the media will tell you that's not true. Why did they do it? Well, obviously, the Chinese have been working on biological warfare for decades. This is one of their labs. Actually, when the national outcry came out about this, they shut the lab down. All communication, told all their scientists to quit publishing data, which a lot of this data that we have access to now, if you can still find it, was published by Chinese scientists who are concerned about the life-threatening effect of this virus to their country and the rest of the world. They were doing the right thing. And they were publishing. The Lancet had several articles published by Chinese researchers warning about this problem and speculating on where it came from. So this is just not outsiders. These were insiders in China, real scientists that dealt with these viruses. And it got shut down January 3rd, and there's been no communication since. The leader of the Chinese Communist Party biological warfare took over the Chinese, or that Wuhan lab at that time, and it has been in charge of that ever since. Why did they do it? Most likely an accidental leak. Gordon Chang, who's a conservative writer who grew up in China, he said he wouldn't put it past the Chinese Communist Party to purposely leak it, spread it around the world, because their economy was tanking for the last 2 years and our economy was exploding. So he says if they murder young babies who are born against a one-child policy, if they have 1 to 3 million people in gulags, why wouldn't the Chinese Communist Party do that? He wouldn't put it past them. Economic reasons. Obviously, I'm not going to go through these things because you all know about them. So the impact has been financial, social, and on health and wellness throughout the world. Globally, the GDP in Germany and the U.S., GDP in Germany went over almost 12% drop. The U.S. around 10. We're slowly recovering. Recovering is coming in the red states who are open. It's amazing that we've got one arm tied around behind our back in this economy, and yet we're still prospering. So millions of jobs lost worldwide. Third world poverty has exploded because a lot of these people were living on the margin due to price increases and inability to obtain products. These people are suffering. Small businesses have been crushed in America. Some will never recover, but because of the innovation of the American business people and their trust in God, they will come back. They're already coming back. I've been impacted. I have a three-provider family practice, and we took a big dip for about 3 months. And so still not where we were, but it's coming back. And if we could do what we wanted to do, we'd be back where we were before. But the Texas Board of Medical Examiners, or the Texas Medical Board now, they have rules that you can't have more than, you got to have physical distancing in your waiting room. So we have three providers. We can't do that. Otherwise, people will be waiting out in the parking lot till we triage them. We did that at first. And now with this heat, it wouldn't work. So we'd have a backlog. So we're doing telemedicine. But it's not as good as doing hands-on medicine. You know that. Price increases have affected everybody. Have you bought a steak or gone to a restaurant or ordered from a restaurant steak lately? I mean, it's not the same quality as it was before. Beef has skyrocketed. That's just one example. So social impact, personal interactions. I have patients who, when I talk to them for their telemed, when can I come back to the office? I want to see you guys. We miss you. These are people alone, and they're hurting. Family and social gatherings, entertainment and events, workplace business, obviously church. All right, that's already been touched on. It'll be touched on more. Health and wellness. I don't have numbers here, but I don't need to because they change all the time and they're not accurate. Number of cases world and U.S., unreliable reporting, inequitable COVID testing. You know what I mean by that? We're doing 100 times more testing than other countries. So we're going to have more cases, right? It's not like we don't bathe here. Like we're in a third world country, we're just testing more. While I'm there, because I don't want to forget it, herd immunity is something that when there's an illness going through the population, many people contact whatever causes the illness, whether it's a bacteria or a virus, and they don't have symptoms, they don't get sick, and they develop antibodies. One of the greatest catastrophes in our country was shutting down the schools because those kids don't get sick. And I'll tell you about that towards the end of the talk with a recommendation for all of you to help protect you. Unlike the Spanish flu and influenza, the regular influenza that we have, it affects kids big time and they get sick and die. So the schools got shut down. We lost our ability to put that factor, the herd immunity, into our society. inaccurate attribution. I just talked to my CEO of one of the local hospitals where I practice and asked him about the cost of remdesivir, which I'll get to that in a minute. So the number of hospitalizations in the U.S., there's very inaccurate attribution. There is an enhanced reimbursement for COVID. So a DRG for Medicare, that means a diagnosis-related group, that means a global fee. So before COVID, if someone came in with pneumonia and they got out in 3 days, the hospital made $5,000 and they could make some money. But if the patient had complications and stayed for 10, they don't make as much money. They still get $5,000. That's called a DRG, diagnosis-related group. They factor in a few comorbidities, but not enough to make a difference. With COVID, $13,000 for pneumonia. I've seen patients who come out of the hospital, been there 3 or 4 days, go home, and they're diagnosed with COVID, and the discharge summary says pneumonia, but the chest x-ray report from the radiologist, normal. So the doctor's discharge physician have the leeway to use their opinion, best medical opinion, that they think factors may be a negative test, because there's a lot of negative testing, so guess what? They're putting COVID. I think Art just talked to me a minute ago and talked about last night, Art Alley, about that factor nationwide from the CDC. Ventilator, $12,000 for regular pneumonia, $39,000 for COVID. That's serious stuff. And I want to say before I go further, I am not pretending that COVID-19 is not serious. It is a serious illness. One of my very best friends, a physician assistant who worked with me for 20 years, worked at one of our local hospitals. I don't know if you read the article in Texas Monthly about his friend, and he was included in the article. My friend's name is Mark Saldana. He grew up in Nederland. Him and three of his friends were in band in high school, and they were musicians, and they played in an orchestra down the Houston, Beaumont area, and they would do gigs about every other weekend. 2 weeks before Mark got sick, they went down there and did these two performances on Saturday and Sunday. They were in a van. They were together. And then Mr. Westbrook, who was a band teacher in one of the schools there, I think it may have been Nederland, he got sick, and in 3 days he died. Mark, my friend who was working at the hospital in family practice, he immediately self-quarantined, went home, felt fine, working from home. 60 years old, no health problems, not even hypertension. 2 days later, so he was worked at home for 5 days. On Monday, he felt great, exercised. Tuesday, he thought he was having abdominal pain. They took him to the emergency room and said, oh, you've got a kidney stone. COVID test was negative. 2 days later, he collapsed on a ventilator that afternoon and shipped him to Houston. By the grace of God, 4 weeks on a ventilator. He was also on ECMO, which is a last resort because your lungs get so tired and the tissue gets so weak. But he survived. I mean, I see him every weekend. We do stuff together. He's fine. He's weak. But it's serious stuff. I'm not lowballing it, okay? Don't want anybody to think I am. Because in today's world, somebody could hear what I said and said, this doctor's crazy, and he said it's no big deal. It is a big deal. Number of deaths in the U.S. and world, unreliable attribution again. Such a disparity from one country to another. So is the curse worse than disease? So I'm on the board for a national Medicare Advantage program. Take care of hundreds of thousands of people, Medicare patients throughout the country. We have the cost of care dropped drastically March, April, May. And then June it started ticking up in July. But what's happening, catastrophic cases, heart disease, diabetes, cancer, undiagnosed cancer, COPD, asthma, psychiatric issues. These people denied care. They were so scared, so frightened, they wouldn't leave the house. Now, some of us would. We have a backup. We thought we have common sense, but a lot of elderly people at home there, I still have patients that I'm not coming out for at least another 6 months till this is over. So what happened? When you have serious medical problems and they go untreated, so the system is starting to pay for it now, and patients are paying for it. The players, Chinese Communist Party, talked about that. They have obviously a vested interest in doing what they did. I have no doubt that they purposely spread this, let this spread throughout the world. So they didn't, because they know the situation they would be in if they contained it. The WHO, that's not the band, World Health Organization. They're controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. They propagandized. They said that this wasn't a big deal. They said it was like the flu, and so on and so on and so on for several weeks, and lied about what was going on. That's why our president quit funding them. Amen. This is not a unbiased organization. This is a propaganda machine. And I'll mention later why they have an interest in keeping things the way they are. Dr. Shi Xing Li, she is the preeminent researcher in that Wuhan lab. She has been doing, they call her the bat doctor, because she and her team go out into caves, have gone into caves in China for over 10 years. Finding bat-like viruses. And I'll tell you in a minute why I don't think she intentionally did this on purpose, but she was a tool of the biological warfare component of the Chinese Communist Party, the PLA, and what resulted from her work, the whole world is paying for. Big Pharma. Talk about remdesivir in a minute. Maybe I'll talk about it now. Remdesivir was a drug developed to treat SARS and then Ebola. And it was semi-effective. And when this broke out, Big Pharma thought, oh, if we can do double-blind studies, we can make money off of this. That's why a blanket got thrown over hydroxychloroquine. Hydroxychloroquine to treat a patient. I do it all the time from my office. Maybe $14 for the whole course of treatment. Plus the other issues. Remdesivir, 3,000. I just had a communication with the CEO of one of the hospitals. $3,000 minimum. Plus the hospitals get an additional 20% for it. So you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. The FDA, group of physicians are suing the FDA about their draconian shutdown of hydroxychloroquine. They're corrupt. Let me tell you a quick story. I have family practice, but I'll also do non-narcotic interventional pain management. I do injections, okay, nerve blocks. I also do platelet-rich plasma, which is a derivative of stem cells, which helps enhance, triggers our body to use our own stem cells to heal. I've been doing that since 2007. Second doctor in the state of Texas to do PRP injections for orthopedic issues. I came up with a transdermal pain cream. Everybody said it really worked. Somebody said, you need to try to get a patent. So I got a patent attorney, a medical patent attorney, and paid the money, did the research, double-blind studies, all the stuff, and submitted it. 6 months, 12 months, 1 year, 2 years. During that time, I don't know if any of you suffer with leg cramps during the night, nocturnal leg cramps. There's a product over the counter named Quinam. It's quinine. $4 for a 30-day supply back then. FDA came out and said, this stuff's not being absorbed properly. We're taking it off the market. So the second best thing, I told patients to get tonic water. It's the wine section of the grocery store. Tell your pastor why you were there. And have 4 ounces of tonic water every night till your cramps go away. And then when they come back, do it again. That has quinine in it. About 4 months later, after that was pulled from the market, this new pharmaceutical rep came in my office. He had a new product called Qualiquin. $120 a month. Absorbed properly, according to the FDA. Somebody greased the wheels. You don't get something approved that quickly. Okay? And then you know the story. That goes on and on. United Nations, they're part of the Sustainable Growth Initiative of 2030. They want everybody in the world to have a vaccine. That's what they're pushing. Gates Foundation, the Clinton Foundation, Global Initiative, they're all part of that. Other world leaders in government, and the Wizard of Oz, Dr. Anthony Fauci. Wizard of Oz 2.0. So on March 8th, Dr. Fauci says, there is no reason to be walking around with a mask. He was on Mark Levin plus another show on CNN. And then April 3rd, he said, wear a mask. Physical distance. Do you follow your recommendation, Dr. Fauci? Obviously, let them eat cake. So the truth behind the curtain of COVID-19 pandemic, the motives, obviously power, control, and greed. The impact, worldwide fear, worldwide suffering, tyranny. Do you know all of you most likely here today encountered tyranny against yourself walking to here or back to your room? Because someone, a tyranny is oppression imposed by someone in authority. I got about 2/3 of the way up the hall. Some young man over there said, put your mask on. I said, I'm 10 feet from you. Put your mask on. That's tyranny. So that's created a compliant citizenry. That's the reason people are committing suicide, suffering, anxiety, and depression, drug abuse, overdoses, alcohol. All these things have factored in. I saw something early on where one of the reporters said, he was joking. He said, well, we're out of hand sanitizer and can't go to the doctor. He said, so I went out and I bought 5 gallons of cheap whiskey. He said, and 3 bottles of wine, so I'll have the wine and then I can make hand sanitizer with my whiskey. That was a joke early on, but you know, that's going on. Consequences. That's supposed to be dissent, not decent. Resistance, noncompliance, and rebellion. I didn't put my mask on when I went up the hall, so I had my own little resistance, rebellion, noncompliant. I noticed most people in this room didn't have one on last night. If you want to wear one, that's fine. Did you know that, if I got it in my pocket, these masks, cloth masks, surgical masks, do not protect you from coronavirus. They filter to 60 microns. The coronavirus is 30 microns. The only face covering that helps is N95 or R95, and then you have to have an excellent seal around your face, and that's very hard to do. Plus, I've encountered many people getting sinus infections because they're wearing the mask and rebreathing all day long. I see every day three people riding in the car with masks on. I see one person in the car with a mask on. Have you seen it? Okay. It's not just in Lufkin. So the information blackout, the CCP, obviously they shut down this lab. They told other scientists they're not allowed to publish anything. Nothing. Total blackout. If that was a natural occurring virus, wouldn't they be open the country and have all research teams from all over the world trying to figure this out? Yes. World Health Organization, again, they parrot, propagandize whatever the Communist Party says. Mainstream media, disgusting. How many of you saw Mark Levin week before last, last weekend, where they had the doctor from, I think it's Princeton? Yale, take it back. Harvey Risch, he's an epidemiologist. He says that Fauci's shutdown and the media shutdown of hydroxychloroquine has probably cost well over 100,000 lives. I pray to God it doesn't happen. We have, in our practice, yet to have one patient die of COVID. Not one. The one that I'm talking about patients that we intervened immediately. Hydroxychloroquine, if you get in 2 to 5 to 7 days, you're gonna beat it with the other things I'm going to talk about here in a minute. The media, Lancet. Lancet was one of the first publications that the Chinese doctors were going to, and they were giving good information. But lately, they've published some bogus papers about hydroxychloroquine. They had to retract the statement, as the New England Journal of Medicine and others. So a cure. Definition of a cure: to eliminate a disease, condition, or injury with medical treatment. When will it end, COVID-19? Never. Why do I know that? The 1918 Spanish flu, which actually originated in China, research teams have tracked back to China, was the first H1N1 virus. You know, every year when they concoct the flu vaccine, that's still in there. It's still with us. Over 100 years. Not going to go away. You know how effective the flu vaccine is? 40 to 60%. You can turn around, 60 to 40%. So, and we live with it. We go about our lives. There's no established medical protocol at this time. However, in my opinion, the best outpatient treatments are hydroxychloroquine. I took hydroxychloroquine for 3 months, started early on. I took it in Vietnam. I was a combat leader. I made sure my men took it every day. It's bitter. It's nasty. Had our wives, girlfriends, whatever, send us Kool-Aid to put in our canteen, so because that stuff's so nasty, and so Kool-Aid was better than water to wash that down with. I did research. 18 million people, United States, Australia, Korea, military people took hydroxychloroquine or chloroquine in Vietnam. 18 million. I never heard of anybody having a problem with it. There was never any problem or any worry about it till Donald Trump said he was taking it. That's the truth. You can track it chronologically from the time he said it. So I took it up until 3 months ago. I had a knee replacement. And I stopped it a week before I went to the hospital. And I'm going to give you something else. So hydroxychloroquine with azithromycin, I treat with patients for 10 to 14 days. Zinc sulfate, I can give you 220 milligrams twice a day. Steroids, my choice is an inhaled steroid called budesonide. It was used in Asian's country early on. They had very few deaths and ventilator problems and hospitalizations. So, a healthy immune system. 40% of COVID deaths occur in nursing homes or long-term care facilities. Vitamins D, very important. C, zinc, exercise, sunlight. Vaccinations, do they work? No COVID vaccine at present, and when they come out with it, do we think we're going to be better off, any better off than with a flu vaccine? It's not going to change. Herd immunity is going to have to develop. Thank God we're opening schools, at least in most places. This is one I want you to know about. Measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, MMR vaccine. Here's where you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. I read an article in April, said that there'd been a vaccination initiative in these countries. They're not geographically adjacent, but it was American Samoa, Hong Kong, and Malaysia. Or, I'm sorry, Madagascar. These countries had no or few COVID deaths and very few cases. What was the commonality? The adult population and the children had all received an MMR vaccine in 2019. Then there was another, so I ordered it. I do adult medicine, so I don't give back those vaccines. I just give the tetanus, and I give flu and pneumonia vaccine, but no children's vaccine. But I ordered it and took it. My wife said, I want to wait. So another article came out 4 weeks later. She took it. Now they're researching at Oxford, and now they're doing research and trying to induce antibodies, not with it, with the infusions from people who have had an infection, but substance that will induce these antibodies to fight against COVID. That's going to help us when that's perfected. But there's something in the rubella vaccine that triggers an immune response against COVID. I took mine. I offered it to my whole staff. I didn't force them. They've all taken it. And then I have multiple of my patients to take it. I don't force them. I just give them the statistics. You need to check into it. You don't even have to tell them what it's for, because they'll give you an MMR vaccine, because if you're possibly going to be around a young pregnant woman, you could possibly cause that infection. So many people just go to their doctor and say, I want an MMR, adult MMR, and they get it. Even if they don't pay for it, it's about $100. Physical distancing. I don't say social distancing. I'm not always socializing. 6 feet or more, that makes sense. I talked about the mass. So when this started, I printed Psalm 91. I gave it to every patient that came in the office. If they were doing telemed, I told them over the phone. Read it every morning, read it every night. And the key verses are, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. So, has this been a warning? Yes. And many of you pastors, I'm sure you've been preaching about it. We've been hearing about it. Or a blessing. I think it's both. Some of the blessings that we're going to have, people have come back to the Lord. People are gathering together and praying. People are realizing that life is short. We're also doing common sense thing. You know, China makes almost all of our drugs. So we got to get out of there, and we're working on that now. And multiple other things, preparing for disaster, and also understanding how that you cannot trust the government. People, look at these governors in some of these states and mayors, what they're doing. Shutting down churches. The mayor of Chicago getting her hair done. They ask her about it. Said, well, I'm a public official. I can get my done, but none of you can go to the beauty parlor. And she's done multiple other things. And that's just an example. I can only watch so much of the news at night till I have to switch channels. So I'll open up. I got 4 minutes. Any questions?
If you have a question, I will bring you the microphone. We have just a few minutes. Go ahead. I'll hold a second.
I guess my question is there or should there be an effort by the doctors within states to appeal to the state licensing authorities to allow preventative use of drugs like hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin or some of these other drugs that could prevent, in a prophylactic sense, contracting COVID-19 or Wuhan virus?
Well, yes, it's hopeless to appeal to the state medical boards because they're the most draconian, yes, tyrannical agencies in the United States for physicians. We can't even have our civil rights to the medical board. When we sign a license, they can do what they darn well please. But their American Association of Physicians and Surgeons have filed a lawsuit with the FDA. They're petitioning. Multiple doctors are doing that. The Ford Institute, 3,000 people in the study in Detroit found hydroxychloroquine 70-80% effective early on, and they're also using it prophylactically in all their health systems. So they're ignoring the outcry to stop it. Yes, sir.
Two questions. Any concern about vaccines, some vaccines that could change DNA? And secondly, what do you make of the new information from the CDC that less than 10,000 are only due to COVID?
I'll have to. Art Alley told me that just a few minutes ago. Janet Cook told me last night that he'd said that. And I hope that's true. And I hope that it's not squashed or spun, which is going to be spun. And what was the other thing you asked?
Vaccines.
Okay, let me tell you about Anthony Fauci real quick. Anthony is a smart guy. He graduated first in his medical school class. He did a rotating internship and an internal medicine residency, 2 years. He has not done any postgraduate work since that time. He's not a researcher. He's not a scientist, so not a practicing scientist. He's an administrator, a bureaucrat. He oversees all these brilliant scientists doing research. In the early on, when he was the head of the NIAID, National Institute of Allergies and Infectious Disease, two researchers did a paper and published it about how the polio vaccine induced a genome, or into our genome, something that causes chronic disease or chronic fatigue syndrome. Fauci kicked them out, told me they couldn't publish it, and one of the researchers, she went home with her laptop and her papers. He had her arrested for taking property. Why? Working on a vaccine. It's about vaccines. Same thing with the AIDS virus. He shut down treating pneumocystis carinii, which is a life-threatening pneumonia in HIV/AIDS patients. It cured it. He wouldn't let them do it. One two-year double-blind study. So thousands of AIDS people died because they were denied that because they were working on a vaccine. Paul?
So the question is, have you personally experienced pharmacists not filling the hydroxychloroquine prescription that you have provided?
I've had one. Thank God we're in Texas, okay? But I had, about a month ago, a school teacher, she was exposed, and I prescribed it for her. She had symptoms, waiting on the test. I gave her the regimen that I talked about, and we had to have what they call a prior authorization, meaning the insurance company wanted us to give them more information. And we talked to the lady on the phone. She said, basically, if you put COVID as a diagnosis, they're not going to fill it. So I put, which she had, but I put inflammatory osteoarthritis. So they filled it. And her insurance was the teachers, TRC, at the time. Only one I've had denied.
Hi, my mom is in the ICU right now fighting for her life with COVID. She's probably had it for 3 weeks. Would it help her now if for some reason I can convince them to give it to her?
Hydroxychloroquine studies show that at this late, it's probably not of value. But we don't know because the research has been squashed. 53 studies have shown that it's effective or highly effective. I think 13 have shown no.
So, like, I asked the nursing home what they're doing for their COVID patients, which she was in a nursing home, and they said they're giving them Mucinex. What can we do to get our nursing homes to give the residents this?
It's tough. I mean, because doctors can't go in the nursing homes, and nursing home workers work in more than one nursing home. Even those are the complete shutdown, but they're going to different places. And I'm so sorry. Prayer. And but the treating physician, if you can get a hold of him and ask him, it won't cause harm.
Yes, I'm interested in the offshoot problems from COVID, the difference in things like suicide rates, people going into psychiatric wards, the psychiatric effects on the children in the schools. Is this sort of information coming across your desk? And if so, do you have references where to go to find these sorts of statistics and to look at these particular issues?
You're talking about the psychological impact?
Psychological numbers, suicide numbers,
yes.
Or even underlying conditions that are not being treated because they instantly send them to the COVID floor in a hospital and ignore the underlying condition.
Right. Well, unfortunately, statistics from those things take a while to compile. So there's a big lag, 6 months to 18 months. But it's a no-brainer. We're seeing that. Increased incidence. And like I said, the other illnesses, people having severe complications or problems. Yes.
I don't expect you to respond as an attorney, but at what point do these people get held accountable for murder?
I'll let the lawyer answer that.
Question right here, and then we'll wrap up this session.
Okay. One of the things that I had looked up, you know, trying to find hydroxy, my wife just came back from Mexico. They no longer allow it over the counter there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was looking, and I was looking up Dr. Zelenko, and one of the things that he recommended was if you can't get the HCQ, is to get quercetin, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, or quercetin, and doing like 500 milligrams a day of that, not necessarily as a prophylactic, but, you know. Still.
I don't know about that.
Okay.
But I do know, this is another of the farce and the hypocrisy. You know, Cuomo's brother who's on CNN, is it CNN? MSNBC? Anyway, he had COVID. And all the stuff that he has said about hydroxychloroquine, but yet he took the cinchona bark, which is a derivative, and said that helped him get better. So, thank you so much.
Folks, let me ask you this. Doc is an expert in the field of medicine. He was a little bit apprehensive about speaking. Dr. Cathcart, thank you so much.
God bless. Thank you.
For sharing your wisdom.